Podbot Door AI. I want to tell you how I experienced this terrible loss and how we were out here in modern hell. Eventually I discovered what time and what contact I had with the weather after I had lost my love. I suffered tens of thousands of deaths before I even uttered a word, and nearly ripped a limb from my body. I toiled and worked for hours, toiling until I could procure enough supplies for my lost one to build a life, a life-size replica of her balloon, complete with her name on the back of the balloon and the words, "I would do just that for those who rushed to my city, knowing that we might need your help to bring this balloon to safety on Earth," the exile explained. "I was caught off guard, and when I saw everything I could hide and escape, I fought for my life. I had to fight because I had long been tired of such an existence, but the wild animal turned out to be me." The exile laughed briefly and bitterly, adding, "As strange as it is, it's not." He giggled embarrassed when he met his nephew's eyes, and paused in the heat of the encounter. The scholar jumped up and gesticulated back and forth to find a better way to cope with the almost hysterical excitement, but it took work. So he worked the intense excitement that had taken full possession of him. Uncle Feeton rubbed his hands over his face, hastily shifting his weight from one foot to another, foot, buddy, and then back to the growing conviction in his head. His far more stable hand shook as he pulled out his knife, ripped the dress open with his fingers, and tore open his heart. The point is that his hasty decision was justified, but he revealed it anyway with great caution. It was not until much later in the day that Mr. Edgecombe felt comfortable enough to participate in a discussion about ways to do it. As the shadow of night began to gather over the land, the professor surrendered to complete the collection, and Cooper and Edgecombe were drawn to marvel at the silent wonders and complete their collection. He made a list of the wonderful articles hanging from the wall, as well as the names of each one. At a respectable hour at the turn of the year, the passengers wrapped themselves in their blankets, and by evening nothing had been decided. The night was much older, it was evening, but still nothing clarified, definitely nothing. A quartet had been lost because he had worked too hard on the exciting events of his last day and had claimed sleep as an easy subject. On the one hand, I have long been a lover of the brilliant Prescott, and it was part of my memory to follow the course of this little lecture and mention the strengths of the professor in supporting his charming theory. On the other hand, Uncle Feeton was very pleased to have paid me the honor of his pet invention. Cooper and Edgecombe were so engaged in a completely different light, and the pleasant doubts that their earlier words and behavior had caused were fairly effectively removed. A most fortunate diversion was granted. Although the deepening dusk prevented a very extensive investigation, Uncle Feeton, badly upset, rushed to apologize for his hapless break, but Cooper and Edgecombe cut him off and asked him to put the matter to rest for the time being. Bruno took the Indian's hand and shook it warmly, and the two youngsters stood eye to eye for a brief moment of silence. I dropped my weapon and put my hand on his shoulder, while he stared at the shiny dark heavenly body for minutes in complete silence, his voice choked, and he left the sentence unfinished before hurrying to prepare the food that his limited resources would allow. The exile was preparing an early meal for the new day when his guest trio woke up. Their next move was not entirely clear, as they eagerly discussed what they thought was really appetizing, yet hours of steady work had brought the small cadre to the coveted spot, and Professor Featherwit was once again literally battered. Scattered throughout the remote valley were people, almost all of whom suddenly started to move, no doubt frightened by the appearance of the strangely shaped air demons. The valley itself seemed to consist of fertile soil, although a valley much wider appeared at first sight. It stretched over a flat area and was irrigated with ditches that brought water to every hectare, with a river cutting through its center, thus also providing rich crops of grain and fruit. The blimp accelerated and Professor Featherwit almost unintentionally sent it higher. Two Indian braves approached the aerostat with dynamite guns, prompting him to do his best to fend off the imagined attack, but he was bursting with intense anticipation that captivated him for the moment. He declared that his recognition was complete, despite the long years that had passed since he lost sight of his loved ones, and he earnestly vowed to give everything to bring about their salvation so that he would not lose his life in such an attempt. With his help, he hoped to regain civilization and was thrilled by the magnificent view, even though his life had been ruined by great losses. This has been Jim. Episode 1. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this content, please follow us on social media. See you next time.